considered his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Well, here we are in December already. Thanksgiving is past, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I know many, many people were traveling this week and hope you've had a good and safe holiday. Now we begin preparations. I say begin, I'll tell you, you go around town and it looks like Christmas is already in full swing in some places. I know in our community here, they have the Christmas decorations up all up and down the highway, and people are beginning to decorate their homes. And yeah, it's like the song says, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And I got to tell you, I love the Christmas season. I love the music. I love the holidays. I love the decorations. I love the whole reason for the season, as the cliche goes, that Jesus came. And I love celebrating Christmas. I love, you know, my love language, as it were, is giving. And I love to receive gifts. I love to give gifts. And it's just such a joyous and such a great time. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about Christmas. Today, I have a very special message for you from Luke chapter 2. And so if you can, I'd encourage you to go and turn there and join us today as we consider His Word. Want to remind you about our website and something special today that I don't usually talk about. At our website, considerhisword.org, there are a number of things you'll find there. One of the things you'll find there is a link that says contact us. We would love to hear from you. And, you know, at this time of year, I'd love to get a Christmas card from you. I think that would be such a blessing. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you if you'd send us a note, and we would be happy to send you one of our little prayer journals. These are just a little notebook that fits into your pocket, fits into a purse or a Bible case that you can take with you to church to remember prayer requests, to write down your own prayer requests, and to be able to mark them down when God answers those prayers, just as He promised. And to receive one, all you have to do is write to us. So you can do it just through the regular mail at Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Lewiston, Florida, 33440. Give that to you again. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, in Lewiston, Florida, 33440. Now, if you prefer, you can just simply email me at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com, or you can contact us through the website. However you want to do it, just let us know. Give us an address where you're hearing the broadcast today, and we'll be glad to get that out to you just as quick as we can. Now, one other thing I want to mention real quick, and I don't say a lot about this, but a number of years ago, I wrote a devotional book. I think it would make a great gift because it has a plan in there for reading through the Bible in a year. It has a daily devotional. It also includes a little bit of a journal where you can write down your own thoughts and your own praises when you just want to give the Lord praise, prayer requests, things like that, all contained within this one book. And during the holiday season, we send it out for $25 postage paid. Just send us a check for $25 and we'll send the book out to you just as quick as we can. I think it'd make a great Christmas gift. Don't have a lot of these left, so if you want one, you better jump in so you can get one right away. Now, let's get to the Scripture. Let's talk about Luke chapter 2. You know, there are several passages in the Scripture that we come back and revisit every year. Certainly, there's Matthew 1, and we'll probably be taking a look at that in a week or two. But Luke chapter 2 that contains the Christmas story. Now, I want to read just the first, I don't know, 7 or 8 verses of this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to read all of it because there's really a particular passage or a couple of particular verses that I want to eventually get to. So let's go ahead and read it. Luke chapter 2. Remember, the Bible says it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. A number of years ago, I came across a story, and I wish I could tell you who wrote this. I really don't know. In fact, when I saw it, I did not see it attributed to anyone in particular. And I wish that I could tell you. I wish that I knew. But it's a great little story. I want to read it to you. I could tell it, and I have told it in the past, but it's easier for me just to read it for you, okay? The story goes this way. Wally was 9 years old and in the second grade. Though he should have been in the fourth, he was big and clumsy, slow in movement and mind, but well-liked by the other children in the class, all of whom were smaller than he. He was the biggest in the class. At times, the boys did have trouble hiding their irritation when the uncoordinated Wally would ask to play ball with them. He would stand by, not sulking, but hoping. Always a helpful boy, willing and smiling, and a natural protector of any child he felt was being mistreated. As Christmas time approached, plans were made for the annual school pageant. Children were being assigned their parts, angels, shepherds, wise men, Mary and Joseph, all of the characters. Wally stood by expectantly, and then suddenly his joy knew no bounds, for he heard the teacher say, "Wally, I want you to be our innkeeper." Now, there were not many lines to learn, she reasoned, and his size would make his refusal of lodging to Joseph a little more forceful. Little did that teacher dream the lesson that such a tender-hearted boy would teach to all that would attend that program. Then came the rehearsals with the manger, beards, crowns, and a stage full of squeaky voices. Most caught up in the magic of the night was Wally. He would stand in the wings, watching the performance with fascination. His teacher had to make sure he didn't wander on stage or around the auditorium, and so he'd be ready for his cue when it was his turn. Then came the long-awaited night, and Wally stood holding a lantern at the door of the inn, watching as the children who portrayed Mary and Joseph came up near to him. "What do you want?" Wally asked in his forceful, brusque voice. "We seek lodging." "Seek it elsewhere. The inn is filled." "But, sir, we have asked everywhere in vain. We have traveled far, and we're very weary." "No room in the inn for you." Wally looked properly stern. Please, goody innkeeper, this is my wife. She's heavy with child and needs a place to rest. Surely must have some small corner where she can lay down. She is so tired." Now, for the first time, the innkeeper relaxed. His stiff stance, and he looked down at Mary. And with that, there was a long pause, and the audience became very tense. There was an awkward silence. "No, be gone," the prompter whispered from the wing of the stage. "Be gone," she said again. Finally, Wally repeated the words, "No, be gone." Joseph sadly placed his arm around Mary, and Mary laid her head on her husband's shoulder, and the two of them started to move away. The innkeeper did not return inside the inn, though, like he was supposed to. No, Wally stood there in the doorway. watching the forlorn couple. His mouth was open, his brow creased with concern, his eyes filling unmistakably with tears. And suddenly, this Christmas pageant became very different from all the others. "Don't go, Joseph," Wally called out. "Bring Mary back." And Wally's face grew into a bright smile. And he said, "You can have my room." Isn't that great? "You can have my room." You know, so often we've heard messages about making room for Jesus in our life and in our heart and in our Christmas. You know, I think this is such an important thing. Colossians 1 says that we ought to give him the preeminence. But so many times, Jesus just gets the leftovers. What about making room for him in your everyday life? Not just at Christmas, but every day. You know, there are 168 hours in a week. About 60 of those, give or take a little bit, is spent sleeping. And many of those hours, mostly around 40 or so, are spent working. That leaves 72 hours. And so how much time do you give Jesus in those 72 hours, in that week? How much time do you give the Lord? How much time do you give him in your daily time with him? Does he get just a glancing prayer, or do you take some time to sit down and listen to him in his word and to have that conversation with him? What about your church attendance on Sunday morning or Sunday school or evening or whenever? How much time do you give to serve him? How much time do you give the Lord? Did you say, "He could have my room"? You know, our time with Jesus should be a priority, not something that's just left over. And certainly, we ought to make room for him in our heart. We ought to ask him into our life and have that relationship with him in our daily life, in our daily time with him. And so I would ask this question: does he have room in your life? Can you give him room? There's a great hymn I want to read to you also. This is a hymn. It's in our hymn book. It's in many hymn books. It goes like this. "Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him come in? Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's doors widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Room for Jesus, King of glory." Yeah, I'm hoping that this Christmas season that you'll make room for Jesus. The devil gives us so many distractions, and we get so busy and so encumbered with so many things, But will you make room for the Savior to talk about him, to sing about him, to worship him, to share him, to show your love of him in your giving and just in your life? Talk about him at work, at school, wherever. Make room for Jesus. God bless you.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.